Then we would welcome you tonight to our meeting, and we trust that you'll be blessed tonight. Not because you're, at least for the first half, you're not coming to hear any special speaker, but we do get a very special message that is very personal. That's what the gospel message is. It's a very personal, but it's also a message that applies to every single human being. So with that, we would give you a very warm welcome, and we'd welcome you back next Sunday evening as well for the preaching of the gospel. And before we open the Bible together, we're going to just take a moment to pray. Our Father, we would give thanks for our Savior. We're thankful even that the Bible does speak very plainly, very clearly. Even the Lord Jesus, as he would teach, he spoke with compassion. And yet he spoke very plainly and clearly about two real places, two very real destinations that every single person will go to, one or the other, for eternity. So we pray to give help as we would present the gospel. Just pray for help and pray for those that are here that are not saved, that they would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we were singing, it is enough that Jesus died for me. So we just pray for help tonight as we give thanks in his Savior's name. Amen. So we're going to open. We're going to read a few portions. And as we read them, I remember as a kid, I used to like that when someone would get up and they'd read a few places. And I used to try to guess what they were going to speak on. Well, we're going to read a few verses. I'm going to read a little more places than I normally do. And I want to see if you can pick up what the word is that I want to think about tonight. So we're going to go right to the first of our Bible, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. The Lord is speaking to Cain here, and he says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. His desire shall be unto thee, and thou shalt rule over him." Just over a couple more chapters to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 16. Again, the Lord has given no instructions about the ark, and he says in verse 16, "A window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it." Let's go over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And verse 25. "And once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and he began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are." Over to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Forward to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." Over to the next chapter, chapter 4 of Revelation and verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it was as it were, a trumpet talking with me, and he said, Come up hither, and I will show you the things that must, things which must be hereafter." I don't know if you noticed something that was in every passage that we have read, but really, it's a very simple thing that I think the youngest person here would understand, or at least most of the youngest people, is a door. You know, how often every day do we walk up, whether it's a house or a car or a building, and we grab the doorknob and we open it and we go through. What I actually read tonight was the first two times in the Bible that we read of the door. May not say a whole lot on this. I may not say a whole lot, but we've read really the two last times that we mention the door. But really, I'd really like to focus, and it's on the chart behind us, John 10 and 9. Really, I'd like to direct you to the door. But it is interesting that the first couple times it's mentioned, it's a singular door. We get that in Genesis. And there is Cain as he was mad because his sacrifice wasn't accepted, because he had brought it with his own, it was the attitude of, this is what I can bring, as opposed to his brother Abel that had brought of a lamb, and he was really saying that this is something that I couldn't improve. It wasn't the work of my hands. It was a lamb that its blood was shed, and that's why it was accepted. And then as we read about the ark, and it's interesting that the size of that big boat, that big ship, there was one door in it. I know there's a few others that have been at the ark encounter in Kentucky, and if you haven't been there, I would strongly recommend it. Because it does kind of give you a bit of an idea, and they own up that there is a little bit of, you call sanctified imagination, but they have followed what the scripture talks about the ark, and with some archaeological evidence and with history, they were able to put together really a good representation of what the ark quite likely was like. I know Daryl's been there and some others have been there. As you walk up to that thing, and it's big when you walk from afar, but as you get up to it, you look up. That was a big boat. But again, even though when you go into it, you kind of go in underneath and there's a rampway, but as you look at that ark, it's very clear that you can see there's one door. And really, that's what I'd like to impress upon your heart tonight, upon your mind. When it comes to getting into God's heaven, there's only one door. You know, we live in a pluralistic world, and a message like this in society today, we would be labeled a bigot. How can you say that you have the only way? Well, it's not my way. This is not the Gospel Hall's way. This is not Daryl's way or Bennett's way or Luke's way. This is God's way. It's God's Bible and it's God's heaven. You know, Dale's here and there's some others that we do work in construction. And there as we go to work, and especially Dale, he owns the business. And as he has people working for him, as the boss, he has the right to say where the door is going to go. You know, there's too many houses that there's only one door. And I think even with fire codes, there has to be, I think, at least two. But when it comes to God's heaven, he has the right to say where the door is and how many there is. And it's not that God has made some little tiny conspicuous door. You know, there's different times where there's something that's trying to be hidden, and there they'll put like a bookcase, or they'll put this something that is really hiding the door so that if you didn't know it was there, you would never be able to find it. And really, God has clearly depicted in the Bible where to find the door to heaven. And you are here tonight, and again, I've already said, you've not come tonight to hear any special speakers, even though I do really enjoy hearing Paul, and I'm looking forward to it. But really, there's nothing special about us. But we can tell you about a God in heaven that has created all things. And really, a God that loves us, and a God that really, really, really wants a personal relationship with you. But because of our sin, there's really something that is standing between us and God, is really something that in a coming day will be door shut. You don't enter through the door. But right now, if you are not saved, there's really a barrier that is between you and God, and that is your sin. And that barrier will just continue to get bigger and thicker and higher. And we have already read in Luke chapter 13, there's coming a time when that door is going to slam shut. You know, I have picked on Murray before when he made the simplified chart, and I don't really why the door is like that, so you can actually see John 10 and 9, but really that door right now is wide open. The door is as wide open as it possibly can be, because God is longing, God is desiring that every single human being in this world will enter that door. And that's why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, into the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. For him to die upon the cross to make a full payment of your sins so that that door can be swung open wide. But tonight, just like a door, you know, there's babies here and they get carried through the door. But God is not going to carry or drag you through the door. God has opened the door. And the Lord Jesus himself is standing at the door and he's saying, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he's given us a whole book. And we have read it all through the Bible. There's, I think, 190 times that the door is mentioned in the Bible. And God has did absolutely everything he can to bring you to be with himself eternally. But there's something about God. He has given us something that we call as a free will. And God's desire is that you would be saved. God's desire would be that you would accept the invitation and go through the door. Now, we've all experienced invitations for weddings and one that I'm thankful I got here 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had a text message from Joel that I work for, and I'm looking forward to it already. It's our annual Christmas supper, a buffet with all the things. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I was glad to get that invitation, and unless I'm sick or dead, I plan to be there. How often have you been offered an invitation and you simply just accepted it? And that's all God is wanting for you to do, is he's offering you an invitation. You know, there's only a certain amount of people that's invited to that, and generally when it comes to different events, there's really a certain number. You know, Titus graduated this year, and there was, because of the size of the gym, there was a certain amount of invitations to graduation, and in order to be there, you had to have an invitation. But when it comes to God's heaven, the Bible speaks whosoever. The only implication about being saved is that it's for sinners. That's really one of the hardest things for any one of us to own up to, is that I am just an ungodly sinner. That I cannot in any way bring myself an inch closer to God. Now we can think about many things about a door. You know, there's different styles. There's different, you know, there's glass doors and there's steel doors and there's wooden doors. There's, as I mentioned already, there's doors for all sorts of different things. But really, there's really two things about a door that we can think of. There's an inside, and there's an outside. There's also something that's nice about a door. We can be thankful that, excuse me, we live on, you know, a relatively safe place in the world. But there's something about, and maybe you're going to chuckle if you know me, there is something nice about a door that you can close, and you can turn that deadbolt. You know, I usually only lock mine when I'm inside sleeping. But there is something nice about, you know, going to bed. You know, I've been in some dangerous places in the world. We were in Baltimore one time, and I was thankful that hotel room locked really well. There's some other cities that I've been in, and there's something nice about knowing that there's that big steel beam that is going through the door and it's locked, you feel secure. That's really something else about this door. But once you enter the door, you are safe forever. Now, God doesn't have to put a big deadbolt to keep you safe. But as you enter into heaven, the Lord Jesus said that no man will pluck you out of my Father's hands. And he says, I and my Father are one. And I'm so thankful that when it comes to my eternal security, I'm not relying on, remember one house we did a few years ago, there was a triple lock. It's a big heavy steel door, and it was actually a triple lock. When that door slammed, there was something almost reminding me of a jail cell. It was that click, and then there was a big, heavy locking mechanism. Well, my soul is much safer than that. So there's really security, but just for a minute, I want to, again, talk about this closed door. Because there's something very solemn, there's something really tragic about, and I'm sure you've had this experience where you were maybe late for something, and that door was closed and it was locked and you were left outside. We have read it. The Lord Jesus warned. He said, strive to enter in. Because once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, no amount of knocking, no amount of crying, no amount of praying, no amount of begging God for forgiveness, once that door is closed, you will never, ever get in. You know, I remember different times where I was late and maybe a few knocks, and eventually somebody with groggy eyes and groggy voice comes to the door and they open it and they let you in. But when you get to heaven's door, so to speak, and you have missed it and that door is closed, you're never, ever, ever getting in. So as I want to think again about the door, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Very plain, very simple. And it's just such a wonderful message to know that the Lord Jesus himself is longing. He's inviting you to come inside the door. And as you can almost picture that door, the Lord Jesus, and if you were to look, you could see his hands are pierced by the nails. If you were to look at his feet, you would see where the spike went through his feet. And as you were to look at his back, you would can see where they whipped his back. And as you read in the Bible and you see the awful things that they did to him, as he was paying for your sins, as he was very actively on behalf of you and I, was stepping into that place where we should have been. Now we all, I know every one of us, have remember different times when we were younger and we disobeyed and we felt the judgment for our sin. I remember numerous times acting up on Sunday morning and I got that look and I knew in the way, after meeting that it wasn't going to be so well for me. And it hurt at the time, but that was only for a few seconds. Stinging only happened for maybe a few minutes. But can I warn you tonight? If you miss this opportunity, if you miss the open door and find yourself at the closed door, the Bible speaks, the Lord Jesus talked about to be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you'll remember every single time that you heard the gospel preached by men that are much more gifted than me. And you'll remember times when men with tears implored you, invited you on behalf of God and read the scriptures and pleaded with you to enter the door. But for you, that door will be eternally closed. And Lord Jesus, in another place, he said very solemn words that these will go away into everlasting punishment. I implore you tonight, enter the door while there's time for you. You know, we read about the ark, and there is God was going to judge the world because of sin. And it's sad that only 8 people entered the ark and the animals. And the Bible is very clear that every other person on the face of the planet died. And we read that really God shut them in. And again, they were safe because God was the one that shut the door. Christ, very clear that I am the door. And tonight, again, this is not a message where we're trying to get you to join a church. We are not here trying to tell you how to get to heaven our way. Don't go by our way. The Bible, the wisest man that ever lived wrote words like this, that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but what's he say? The ends thereof are the ways of death. And it was just simply a way that man was saying, I wouldn't have bothered getting up here. But we got a message from God for you. And the Lord Jesus, again, I want to labor this point, and it's on the church. The door is there. The Lord Jesus said, again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, it doesn't say he might be saved or hope to be saved. He was very clear, and as he stood there, and he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I shared it on the group. I'm just going to read. I really like the words of, I never heard it before. It's a song called Hang on a Nail. I'm just going to read the chorus of the song. It says, well, the end of the first verse says, so you can find a key. It's hanging on a nail on an old rugged tree just outside of Jerusalem at a place called Calvary. That key will open heaven's door and lock the gates of hell. You'll find that key on that old tree hanging on a nail. So what's the song saying? The key to heaven was nailed to the cross. You know, I don't, you guys probably remember this different times. I think I was mentioning Michael's brother-in-law, it was Dominic. I was borrowing a cement saw a couple of years ago, and he told me, I'd go down to my shop and go up behind, and he said, there's a, I think it was a key, there's something hanging on a nail. I remember that. He said, it's there, go help yourself. And I know different times, I know Daryl has it, and different ones is hidden. I'm not going to say where the key is, but if you look in the right spot, there's a key hanging on a nail that lets you in the door. Very, very simple. And I think that's really what the songwriter was implying. That if you want to get into God's heaven, the only key that's going to let you in, he was nailed to Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And as he suffered, as he paid for every one of our sins, and actually you don't even have to grab the key and open the door. He's actually the one that has opened the door. He's taken the key. He's turned the lock. He's opened the door, and he's swinging it wide open for you. And all he wants you to do is simply to walk in. You'll be saved forever. So trust tonight as I finish and as Paul closes the meeting that every time that you walk up to a door, you'll probably go through 4, 5, 6 of them tonight minimum. You're going to go through a door. You're going to leave there, you're going to get in the car, you're going to go home, you're going to go into your own house, you're probably going to go in through numerous doors even tonight in your own house. And I hope tonight that as you enter those doors that you will think about a door that was opened for you 2,000 years ago. And God is just waiting. He's longing. He's pleading with you. Enter the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.